This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Kara Miller. On college campuses around the country, a debate is raging. Lots of students are looking for change, and lots of institutions are resisting. But these are early days in the fight over whether university endowments should divest from fossil fuel companies. So could higher learning be the vanguard of a huge social change? Here to tell us where the campaign is succeeding and where it's coming up against some pretty tough opposition is Dan Apfel, Executive Director of the Responsible Endowments Coalition. Dan Apfel, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Kara.
So I'm wondering, what do you see right now as the state of the movement to get colleges to divest from fossil fuel companies?
Well, like you said, it's early in this movement. Students around the country have been working on divestment from fossil fuels and encouraging their universities to sell their investments for about a year. But just over the last 3 months, the movement's gone from being on 10, 20 campuses over the summer to now it's on over 150 campuses. So there's students all over the country who are talking about how climate change is a big issue and their universities need to do more about it than they have been so far.
Now, it's interesting. The New York Times has sort of observed that East Coast schools seem to be at the vanguard here and you know, looking and reevaluating potentially what they're going to do with their endowments. And here are a few that they mentioned: Vassar, Tufts, University of New Hampshire, Middlebury, University of Vermont, Bowdoin, Swarthmore. Why has this movement taken root, in your view, in the East?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. First of all, it's important to know that the largest endowments around the country, from the ones you mentioned to Harvard and Yale, most of the old institutions that have a lot of money are based on the East Coast. So the ones that are on the West Coast also have fossil fuel divestment movements. Like I said, it's 170 campuses, and those are all over the country. But some of the leaders are on the East Coast. And I think something else that's really important is that Sandy just not so long ago happened, and New York and New Jersey were devastated, and people on the East Coast particularly and families all over the East Coast particularly felt the effects of the hurricane and really felt like they needed to make it clear that the hurricane made it clear that we need to act now and that people on the East Coast really are in the line of fire in some sense, in the line of devastation from the hurricane, and that it really was time for us to stand up and do something now.
Now, you mentioned Harvard, and at Harvard, they not too long ago had a vote of students. 72% of the people who voted said that they favored divestment. But the administration has said, and Harvard has the largest endowment by quite a bit in the entire country, the administration has said it is not going to look at getting rid of fossil fuel stocks. What do you make of that kind of resistance? A very sort of serious and not we're going to think about it, but putting their foot down, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, universities and really all major institutions resist change until it happens. So, again, you know, when colleges were divesting from apartheid in the early 80s and late 70s, early 80s, and students were pushing on schools, many schools said, we would never do this, we won't do this. But eventually, over 150 schools, did divest from companies in apartheid, doing business in apartheid South Africa. And I think it's the same situation here where Harvard's saying, we really aren't going to do anything. But what's really moved universities on investing issues and on all issues in the past is student action. And so student action and community action is going to have to happen to get places like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and the really major endowments to take a step up and to do something about fossil fuels, both divesting from fossil fuel companies like Exxon and Chevron and the largest fossil fuel companies in the world, but also taking action to invest in things that really do promote and support a sustainable future.
You know, I talked with Bill McKibben, who has been helping to spearhead this movement not that long ago, and he talked about that divestment campaign. And here he is just speaking a little bit about the effect of that campaign on Nelson Mandela.
When he got out of jail, Nelson Mandela came to California, and the first place he went was the University of California, where students had forced the divestiture of $3 billion in stock tainted by its ties to that racist regime. And he said, we could not have done this without you. We're going to try and employ some of that same logic. It does not make sense for universities to be funding the education of their students with investments in companies whose business plans rule out the possibility of a workable planet on which to enact that education. It does not make sense for pension funds to be putting their people's retirement money in companies whose business plan dictates they won't have a workable planet to retire on.
Dan Apfel, do you see, as Bill McKibben does, the potential for this to be very much in the mold of the apartheid divestment movement?
Yeah, I actually do think that. You know, I think it's in many ways similar. There's a large student movement, a large citizen movement against an industry in the same situation as South Africa where the government is not stepping up to fulfill its responsibility. In the United States in the 80s, the federal government refused to impose real sanctions on South Africa. And here, the government and governments around the world, really, but especially in the United States, are refusing to take action on climate change. But investors actually around the world are taking action on these issues and are looking at them as part of their investment portfolios. And so universities in this case, unlike in South Africa maybe, and particularly, are laggards in that lots of investors that are even bigger than Harvard have sometimes hundreds of billions of dollars and are looking at how they can think about climate change and how they can really have an impact on the fossil fuel companies, influencing those companies, influencing policy, and also making sure that they invest in creating a sustainable future, invest in the energy policy, in the energy investments, in the infrastructure investments that can create a sustainable future.
Dan Apfel, thanks so much. We're going to keep our eye on this. I've been speaking with Dan Apfel, Executive Director of Responsible Endowments Coalition. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kara.
And Callie Crossley is back in Studio 3 to close the show. Hey, Callie.
Thanks, Kara. Thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. The conversation never stops online at WGBHnews.org. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.